Ladies and fellows, men, welcome back to another episode of the No Script Podcast with two of your favorite hosts, B-Rack and my man Dan Dutton. What's up, bro?
What's going on, big dog?
Not much, dude. I'm kind of geeked about this one because what kind of sparked this fitness episode was your little scenario, your little encounter, if you will, at the gym. It was kind of indirect.
Yeah, I was situation adjacent, and I was like, what the hell is going on over here?
But it kind of prompted this whole episode. I mean, there's already going to be like a ton of fitness episodes from here on out. There's so many people that I want to bring up on here, and I'm sure you know like a few people as far as like fitness goes that you wouldn't mind bringing on here to like chop it up. I mean, I like the last episode we did, you know, as far as having Dave on here and your brother and Foster, and it worked out pretty well with all of us, minus the technical issues.
Surprisingly, for five, we were all pretty respectful, not talking over each other. And like when I listened back to it, when I was editing, I was like, "Wow, this went smooth."
It did. It did. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was definitely a good one.
So today, kicking off, opening up our fitness portion of these episodes is a buddy of mine that I'm pretty sure the first time I consistently like interacted with him or talked to him or anything like that, I was working at St. Mary's Hospital. Shout out to my first full-time place of employment back home in Hobart, Indiana, even before I got my physical therapy license. My buddy Ty, he was working the physical therapy department in the acute rehab unit. So it was just a section of the hospital that people went to for like maybe 2 weeks, like when they weren't ready to get sent home from their hospital stay. And I worked in the portion that what we call, I think, inpatient or like acute or subacute rehab, where they were already in the hospital and we go patient floors and stuff like that. We go to their room and stuff and do therapy. So Ty was a really cool dude. I knew he was into anime. He had some dope tattoos. He was basically like a punk skater kid to me. Like dude was different. Dude was different. So I'm gonna go ahead and introduce my buddy. He lives in Florida now. My buddy Ty, welcome to the show, bro.
Yo, man, yo, you were talking about it. I'm like, dude, that is so long ago. But you're right. It's wild, man. Yeah, we started out on the acute rehab side. You were, inpatient, because there was that outpatient center too, that you and I both went over to a few times. It was like adjacent to the hospital. I remember I went over there a few times, and then there was another one in Valparaiso that I had the misfortune, I guess, having to travel all the way over there. But I've been there too. But anyway, yeah, man. Funny enough, bro, again, every time we talk, I have to give you your credits. Without Mr. Brian Rack here, I would not actually be traversing the current journey that I am, man, especially when it comes down to fitness. At the time, I know you were preparing for a show, and it was me, you, and Giovanni. Giovanni was another inspiration of mine, too. Yes, Giovanni, yeah. And you guys were, like, just so into fitness, bro, and here I am, you know, about a buck 20, you know, 5'6". Like I was really skinny, man. And I was watching your transformation and your journey throughout fitness. And I know it started as a eye opener, and I had so many questions for you. But at the same time, I know you were a student in the process too. So anything you were doing, I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try to do it too. I remember it was the first thing Giovanni said. He's like, yeah, download 5x5, the app. You remember that? The compound lifts?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
the
five sets, five lifts. So every time you do it each week, you're getting a little bit stronger and bigger. But that's really not where it started. Let me run it back a little bit. I am Ty. That is me. I am currently a personal trainer and a group coach fitness. I am the head coach at the Winter Garden Studio here at Orlando, Florida. And that's what I do currently. Nice. I take in-person clients. I take private clients. I'm taking online clients. I coach people at a studio. So I'm trying to be quite busy, man. I'm trying to be something.
This is a
special
plug.
you know, I'm a little selfless
this is a plug, guys.
A little selfless plug. But I guess to run it all back, let me run it all the way back. So fitness to me really wasn't a big deal or really in my life. I had, I guess, the fortune and misfortune to be born with a defect. I was actually born with TGA or transposition of the great artery. Basically, I was born with my right and left aorta in the wrong places. So where I was getting blood and oxygen, I was not. I had heart surgery when I was very first born, and had at a second time when I was 5, they put in a stent. So every time that people always ask me nowadays, hey, how'd you get into this? I'm like, it wasn't always like this, man. My mom, my dad, doctors, very overprotective. I was not recommended to do any sports. I was not recommended to do any long bouts of physical activity. I was basically told, hey, just stay in your comfort zone, man. We don't know what's gonna happen. And to be fair, at the time of the 90s, technology is different now. When people say heart surgery now, it's like, ah, you'll be all right, you'll walk it off next day. I know for me in particular, man, that was a 4% chance of living. So, I got to be gracious for, yeah, at the time. I mean, the birth defect itself is very rare in general. So, throughout Heart Month, I make people aware that, yo, this is a thing. It's not a thing that I want to see anybody to go through, especially knowing that there's a lot of people who didn't even make it to my age, which I'm 30 now currently. And, just got to be happy for the days as they come, basically, I went on and I went on and, I begged my parents, hey, like, can I do this sport? I remember I asked my mom one time, like, hey, mom, can I do basketball? She's like, no, it's too much contact. I was like, wait.
In
I'm
the
like,
90s, it probably was.
I'm not playing. Yeah, the 90s, yeah, it kind of was, right? I'm like, this ain't street ball. I'm just not playing some basketball or something like that. Hell, I remember I wanted to do tennis one time or golf, and she felt like it was too much for me. So, yeah, no, I had very limited, potential when it came to any physical aspect. Even going to gym class, I was very winded, bro. Like, I was just out of shape. I would literally just have gym class and that was it. Talking about running a mile, man, I'm like, hell no, I'm good.
I'm good.
I get 0.1 miles. If you're looking like that on the treadmill, man, it's like, yeah, that's a wrap. We're good today. That's cardio. Book it,
God,
bag it, we
dude.
done, you know? I think where my interest for fitness really started to kick off was after I signed myself up for swimming. Found out I was a really good swimmer in high school, and I wanted to be a little bit stronger and faster at it. So one of the football coaches told me I should take an elective of bodybuilding, and I'm like, bro, I'm short, I'm small, I'm nerdy. I got this whole hipster vibe about me, and mind you, I was a different person then. I think I was 100% different. I had my own persona in high school. We didn't know each other. Funny enough, in high school.
Was it you went to Portage, right?
No. I went to Chesterton, but I was mad close to you
Oh,
guys.
okay.
Yeah, it's a whole circle. I mean, we probably
Yeah.
passed each other, like just the people we hang around, because I did work in Portage, Indiana,
You
too,
worked at
at the time.
GameStop, dude.
Yeah, I did. There you go. I'm a nerd. Everybody knows it. Bam. There you go. I work at GameStop. That's about it. I'm still a nerd, man. I tell everybody that first and foremost.
I'm with it.
Exactly. I know, but like I was saying, back in high school, yeah, I did the swimming thing, and then I took bodybuilding. And again, I did it. I did this low key because my mom didn't know, because she was gonna 100% tell me I couldn't do this. And from there, man, I just fell in love. Again, I was this small kid around all these big dudes that were at football, wrestling, stuff like that. They took, their weight training pretty serious. And funny enough, they had their own like bodybuilder of the month, and it was me, because he was just really impressed with my performance and then how I changed within, a certain set of months. And he told me to keep it up. Of course, I didn't after I graduated high school, because things happen, And finally, so I've been through some odds and ends. I worked at GameStop at a time. I worked at all these little part-time jobs, and finally, I ended up at the hospital. And that again is where, I met Brian. My whole life changed from there, man. And it really, being in acute rehab definitely opens your eyes about, limitations of the body after, things such as traumatic, like a stroke. How crazy it is that you can't even like lift your pinky, after something traumatic like that. So you really got to be gracious of what you got and really try to push yourself, no matter the cause or limit, man, because you're going to have naysayers. You're going to have people who are in disbelief. People will tell you that you can't do this, whether it be a physical or mental limitation. You're going to have to break past those barriers. I started taking my fitness a little bit more serious, I think, after I got tired of, fun fact, I was a corrections officer too. But
Forgot
that's,
about that. I
yeah,
forgot
yeah,
about
I did
that, bro.
corrections, bro. 2 years. I ranked up, became a drill sergeant. had aspirations of going into the Air Force at the time. And, you know, I just did something in between time where, you know, that would make the most sense for me to be going into the Air Force. I was denied entry to the Air Force because of my heart. They took the low road, even though I was in not the shape I am currently, but I was in pretty good peak shape at the time, you know, definitely not who I am today. But I was doing the thing. Yeah, they would not take me because of my heart. And, you know, I kind of felt pretty defeated. After that, I was just kind of really depressed and started falling into bad habits that all kind of corrections officers do, drinking, you know, and I just didn't like the person I was becoming. And I just up and quit one day, man. Asked though my current now wife. We had two kids at the time, so this is by no means a smart decision no one should do. I just up and quit my job. And I told her I wanted to go, you know, back to school, get some education, and I wanted to become a personal trainer. First encounter with going back to school in a long time, mind you, because I think I was like 20, 25, 26 when I decided to go back. And trust me, I was like, yo, this is hard. It was all self-taught. You had to like pretty much motivate yourself. And I will say, NASM does an excellent job if you're looking into, you know, where to get your certification from. NASM, they legit treat you like almost like a physical therapist to an extent, bro, because the questions and the template, the format, everything about it has everything to do with modality, range of motion, you know, the skeletal muscle system, all that stuff. So it's very in depth, and people think it's a breeze to go in, but funny enough, it actually has a 60% fail rate, I believe. So
I did not know
yeah, no, it's a 60% fail rate for the
that.
actual final test. So getting by on a NASM, man, you are accredited and looked at, you know, with a little prestige, like you know something, you know. But long story short, I got my NASM, man. It was crazy because I got it right before my birthday. I was feeling myself, felt good. Funny enough, my very first job interview was in Florida. I did not take that job at the time. I was just uncertain of my own skill at the time and nor who I wanted to be as a trainer. So I came back to the Northwest in Indiana. I worked at a small part-time gym. Ended up working there for a few months before the gym actually shut down, sadly enough. So I had to scramble and find a job. Found Orange Theory. And told them that I wanted to work there. They at first tried to offer me a membership. I'm like, nah, I want to work for y'all. Had no idea what the company was about, had no idea what they were into. I went through a whole week of training of working there. I went through their templates, had to do the exercises. Mind you, bro, it was like the Squid Games, right? So even though you were around like all of these people, you know, that you start building relationships with, you know, some people, you know, not necessarily friends, but pretty good acquaintances. You know, you literally saw these people from 8 a.m. in the morning to 8 p.m. at night. We would practice together, coach together, learn together, study together. We'd make groups together. And then literally they would chop you off by like the end of like maybe a certain day. If they didn't like your performance and how you did, they would just cut you. I made it down basically to the last few final people who are they going to select to work at the studio I applied for. Fun fact, didn't get the job. yeah, did not get the job, bro. I had to come back and work for free at Crown Point, Indiana, because April Gatlin, who I still talk to today, she's pretty much like my sensei, saw something in me, I guess, and wanted me to come back and try again, essentially. Obviously, that worked out, and I worked there, Crown Point, Indiana. I worked at Dyer. I worked at Valparaiso. I moved on to Chicago region. I worked Oak Park, South Loop, and Hyde Park. And then, you know, COVID hit us. Of course, things got crazy and wacky wild. Had to improvise from there. and then I took a field trip, aka a quick family trip down to Orlando, Florida, just to come visit. Got kind of inspired and just said to hell with it, man. Let me see if I can really do this thing for real. Applied for the job down here. Immediately got contacted almost the next week that I came back from my trip. And I moved less than 2 weeks from when I got contacted by the Orange Theory recruiters down here. And here we are. I've been here for almost a year. Actually, what's today? The fifth? Yeah, the 25th will be my official year in Florida, man. So here we are.
That is dope, man. That's I mean, dude, I can go on forever, but I'm gonna let Dan jump in. Dan, I don't know if you got anything specific you want to ask him or.
Yeah, so a couple things. One, I used to live by Oak Park, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
We might have been close together, but also, like Orange Theory, I've never been in there. Like, what is that like in there? It's like a member. I know you're like
Yeah.
you know, coach and stuff. What's it like in there for people who don't know, like me?
Absolutely. So Orange Theory is a group training facility, right? High intensity cardio. They're kind of the ones who started like these all HIIT cardio kind of fitness boutique. That's what they call them, right? So you go in, you pay for a membership like you would a gym, but it's a little bit more premier, so more high end. Yeah, you're paying a little bit more upfront, but the whole point behind this is that you're paying for a group class where it's led by a coach like myself. We run you through a treadmill block, a weight for a block, sometimes a rowing block, and kind of put it and mash it all together with different types of workouts every day, kind of on their fundamental principles of being either endurance, strength, or power. Pause real quick. I just want to say last April they changed that fundamental process. So you kind of see all three anyway now in the studio. But those are used to be their three principles that they run off of. But basically, you would do about 23 to 24 minutes on a treadmill block. If there was a weight floor block, that'd be the same time allocated to that. So people who are really not too keen on going to the gym don't necessarily know what to do and definitely don't like cardio, even me myself. You need a little bit of motivation and want to be able to go in and get a full treadmill block in, so some decent cardio. And we're also working with them on how to build proper strength. So kind of mix of everything. If you've heard of F45, Glad Camp, Gladiator, all those hit camps, Orange Theory was kind of the first to kind of create this template where it kind of brought it all together.
I did do it once. I did do it once. I don't know if you remember, you were in Crown Point.
You did come in. Yes. Yes, you
Ty
did.
was Ty was in my ear. He's like, bro, he's like, come to a class one time and stuff like that. Like, all right, I'll come support my guy. It's not really my cup of tea. 'Cause I knew kind of what it entitled, like HIIT cardio and all that stuff. So I don't remember the exact to a T what we did, sets, reps, all that stuff. All I remember is I think we did like 3 to 5 rounds of like on the treadmill, and I forgot how many minutes it was, but after like a minute or two, whatever, you'd have to increase the miles per hour or the incline, whatever one. And then we had to do that rowing machine. You had to do so many meters. Okay. You take like a little break. I remember we did dumbbell rows, single arm dumbbell rows, and then you went into TRX body weight rows. And there was probably a couple other things in there too, but you definitely, it's not like a progressive overload strength training style
No.
like training because, I mean, yeah, we're running, we were doing the rows, and then the dumbbell rows, I think I was only using like 40 pounds, but it's
Yeah.
the fact that you are constantly moving and your
Moving, yeah.
brakes were, I mean, Ty is the perfect personality for that type of stuff because you have like when he told me about it, he's like, bro, I'm literally at some points doing the workout with you guys while I'm talking, while not trying to sound like he's gassed, you know? So it was just a different level and it was cool. It was fun. I definitely like felt like I got my ass kicked, but everybody in there was working. Everyone was cool. Like, you know, depending on who's the coach at the time, like, well, Ty, super motivating. He talked to everybody. Like, that's the kind of personality you need in that type of environment. And it's just, yeah, it's different, Dan. I mean, I'd say give it a try, but it is tough.
Give it a go, man. Like I said, hey, look, yeah, they always have a free intro class. So wherever you're at currently in Indiana or Chicago, they always offer you a free intro class. I know right now they got some deals going on. Hey, look, I'm not trying to plug. I'm just saying, go and
There's
try
one
it.
in
If you
North
don't like it,
Carolina
try it
too,
for free.
bro.
But there you go. There you go. You go check it out. Try it for free. And trust me, they will let you come in.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, you're like that place in Crown Point. Those people were just super nice and super inviting. And I feel like if you're not that type of person, anyways, you probably aren't working there. So I feel like you might get that wherever you go, whichever
Yeah.
facility.
Hopefully.
Yeah. There. Fingers crossed.
I'm
Fingers
pull up,
crossed.
tell him Ty sent me.
No,
I'm
like,
like, oh,
no. Like, hey, I own a cosign for nobody. I don't
I thought So we talked about a little bit of the training style, Orange Theory. How about we get into a little bit of the nutrition and just kind of like the eating and dieting portion that you're familiar with? You can get into what you've tried in the past, what's worked best for you, and what you're, I guess, what you're currently doing right now.
Okay, so let me step away from the brand a little bit. This is personal trainer Ty talking, but again, I do two things. So, yeah, I always got to disassociate myself when I'm talking on my own because I don't want to speak for the company. When
Sure.
it comes down for nutrition, typically as a coach, we don't give that type of advice. I ain't gonna
That's
lie.
fine.
You know, I'm pretty honest, so everyone knows me. When they come up to me, they can ask me anything, and you know, I will try to steer them in the right direction. First and foremost, if you're having real issues with holding down a diet, and you know, you're popping in from keto to paleo to pesco, not one, but now it is. you know,
Some of
get
those I've
yourself
never even heard of.
exactly made it up. But hey, it could be one tomorrow. Like for real though, bro. Like
I
that's
believe
the
it.
point. Yeah, that's the point I'm trying to get to. Diets are fads, right? It's like the flavor of the month. Like you got a favorite song, right? This month, right? You might like Kendrick Lamar this month. Next month it might be Drake. And that's literally how people treat diets. And that's super unhealthy. The best advice before I even get on to things that I did is find something that you can do this for life, man. It's literally that simple. Find something that you can enjoy doing with yourself on a daily habit, on a daily routine, where you don't feel like it's a secondary job. It's a happy, healthy relationship. If you're married, you know what I mean. Yeah. So
Yes. Oh,
as
and just as a disclaimer for anybody that comes at our next, this is not health or nutrition advice, like
no.
diet advice. This is just strictly what's worked for Ty and what he's done, and whatever he speaks on, I will be able to validate because I've seen the performance and the results. So that's just strictly what it is, just to get that out there.
100%. All right. So, as in for diets, again, I was on a roller coaster ride. Let's again roll it back, right? When you were performing and getting ready for your show, there was no way I was going to do that whole bodybuilder diet. And at the time, I was actually trying to gain weight. So, I kind of fell into what Gio was doing. So, he was in a caloric surplus at the time here. For me, that kind of just meant eating whatever. I'm not gonna lie, I fell into the whole dirty bulk thing where you would just eat whatever, pizza, hamburgers, long as you got calories in. There was no such thing
Great
as a bad
times.
calorie. Great times, bro. Trust me, dirty bulking back then, at least you know, when I had no knowledge of it, was great. But because of my body composition here, I wasn't really worried about gaining too much fat.
Right.
Again, I was on about maybe 3,000 to 3,500 calories a day. I'm not gonna lie, bro. I went to bed sick a lot. Like my stomach felt like it was gonna explode. I got up to about 175. That was my heaviest weight that I've ever gained in my life at all. Mind you, I was a lot bigger, wasn't fitting the shirts, felt good. Take the shirt off though, you know, wasn't feeling so hot. So, throughout some time on my journey as a trainer, I started to dibbling and dabbling into keto. I did that for quite some time. I almost did a full year of it. I could kind of count a few months, but I don't want to lie about it. I would say almost a full year of me doing keto. And that had some great results. I enjoyed it. You know, I did make some mistakes in the beginning about like, oh, it's just, you know, cheese, fats, and meats and veggies, right? No, it's a little bit more than that. I did make some mistakes in the beginning, and you will too if you're just now starting on your keto diet. If this is ringing a bell to anyone right now, which probably a lot of people are because again, it's the most popular one currently. I can't name all the snacks and proteins and coffees and creamers that have keto in it, but it's ridiculous now. It's become what I'm sure a
It's like
multi-dollar
mainstream,
business.
kind of.
Yeah, it is probably the most popular diet again. So again, I know probably a lot of people listening. If you are, do your proper research. Again, make sure you're getting the right information and not doing this incorrectly. Real quickly before I go on about keto, the original cause for the keto diet actually was not meant to be a fad diet like you see it. This was actually for hospital patients who were extremely overweight and they could not go undergo certain surgeries due to their weight, so they would need a pretty much a crash diet. So remember that word because I might bring it up later. That it was non-sustainable, right? This was only momentarily until they lost their set amount of weight. Okay. So, the biggest thing about keto, why they call it, is because you're trying to get in ketosis, right? You have to have your ketones. If you don't know what that is, again, Google it. I'm not going to go into super hard detail for it, just to be light about the situation. But you have to have your ketones in a right amount of level. With that, you would basically be not only ripping away the fat, but you would use that as your primary source of energy. If you don't know, carbs is your number one, then it goes protein and then technically fat. So definitely, you know, again, do your research and what you feel like is okay for you. My own experience with keto, I felt like it was relatively a good time. The biggest thing that I will say is that, again, because I made my mistakes in the past, again, do your research. But I felt like the diet was very meticulous. If you're not keen on counting your calories or tracking macronutrients, which again, keto is again going to demand of you, that might not be for you. It's a lot of label reading because, again, the most amount of sugars you can have, trust me, I know this, is like about 4 grams. And the only reason why I know that is because at the time I really enjoyed certain yogurts and I could have like maybe, hey, you know those Go-Gurt sticks?
Yeah, yeah.
You can have one of those. And that was your sugar for the day, bro. Like there was no sugar. Yeah, dude. It's funny. Hey, did you know that only 2 Oreos is like it's a recommended amount of eating? Like that's should be satiating enough for you if
for,
you're enjoying
like a full day eating.
Eating, yes. That's the amount of that's Oreos.
What?
Only 2 Oreos. That's the recommended amount that you eat.
Bro, that I'm eating enough to save myself like for the next week or two, honestly.
Trust me, bro, when you start reading these labels and see how much of this thing you're ingesting a day and realize that, man, it's not as much as you thought that, especially when it comes down to snacking, right? Mm-hmm. You know what? M&Ms is like 5 or 6 M&Ms, literally a handful that you're supposed to eat for a recommended amount. But yeah, it's crazy. Only through keto, I learned this, people. So again, bear with me. After about the year was done, I'll be honest, I started missing carbs initially because, again, they kind of deprive you and deplete you of carbs, and mm-hmm. you don't really get that because, again, fat is your main energy source that you're trying to burn off. I missed it. Like, I wanted just rice. I wanted bread. I wanted these things, and then I would find it very hard for myself to pop right back into ketosis, especially if I decided to have, like, a cheat meal or something. It was really hard for me to get back into, so I just kind of left it alone, but I did it in the right way. Also, if you're on keto, be very careful on how you come out of the keto diet, because that might, fluctuate your weight a bit. But I kind of latched on to low carb or carb cycling a little bit, picking times in, you know, where I wanted to have carbs. So say if it was breakfast, I was like, all right, well, I'm not going to have carbs for breakfast, lunch, but maybe dinner, I'll throw in some rice or some sweet potatoes or something like that. Right. Found out that worked pretty well for me. The other thing that I think I got into was intermittent fasting, but quick thing on that, intermittent fasting is not a diet plan. That is literally just the time frame of which you can eat. When I was starting my reverse pyramid training, I found it kind of nice because I usually worked out in the morning and I really didn't want anything heavy on my stomach. So really eating breakfast to me kind of came naturally. If you're looking for deeper types of fasting, that's called autophagy. Again, Google that stuff. Basically, it's 24-hour fasting, but it's usually for a different purpose. But again, do your research on how long you think your body should fast, especially if you're, you know, diabetic or something like that. Make sure you're able to do these things. People, don't just hop into it. That's the whole relevance of me just talking about, you know, my trials and errors. But as for intermittent fasting, again, I would just maybe choose not to eat, between 6 o'clock in the morning to 12 o'clock in the evening. That's when I have my first 2 meals. Now, mind you, they're really relatively big meals. I would probably in one sitting have about 1,000 calories in front of me that I was supposed to get down. I did that for a little bit, but then I started getting overwhelmed with having too much to eat and trying to make up for, especially for the protein part. Later in the day, because, you know, got busy with training, work, kids, wives, you know, like it's life, you know, and yeah. I didn't find myself having the time to make up those calories. So I stopped doing the intermittent fasting. Again, that was just the time frame for eating. Right now, I'm down to a maintenance calorie. So roughly about 24 to 2600 calories a day I do consume. And that is still kind of now a mix of my carb cycling here, where I kind of just have like something very minimal in the morning, like a protein shake or maybe eggs and spinach. And then later on during lunch and dinner, you know, that's when I'll throw my rice or sweet potato in. And I'll be honest, it's pretty much the same thing. Now, if people want to know what's meticulous about my diet that I'm eating specifically, It's usually the same thing. That's what a diet is, man. You're picking again the same thing that you can be okay with every single day eating, no problem, no questions asked, and you'll be able to do it with having the discipline issue. But for me in the morning, again, it's usually about like eggs or spinach or a protein shake. For lunch, I'll have like two protein choices. So typically like chicken or maybe some ground turkey or ground beef. Always, every meal, I'm eating asparagus and broccoli. If you're a man with a set of genitals, make sure you are eating your dark green veggies, but more in particular, asparagus. I see guys all the time like, yo, man, how do I, gain muscle and how do I get an edge up? And the first thing they think about, oh, let me get this steroids or this drug that increases my testosterone count. If you eat asparagus, broccoli, kale, just among the few dark green veggies, you are naturally inserting testosterone in your body without having to put anything illegal or harmful into your system. Not only that, it's also removing estrogen out your body, you know? A big
Asparagus is
thing,
awful.
yeah, man, asparagus is fire. It's the wave, man. Natural steroid right there.
See, I can get on board with asparagus, but dude, broccoli is to me
Broccoli, I
the
can do.
worst. Dude, I
What?
flee that.
Hey, look,
Opposite,
boys.
bro.
I'm gonna tell
I
y'all
need
right
it.
now, diets don't care. If you
No.
want, if you want to be serious about it, it's almost like when your parents make you like, hey, go eat that broccoli or Brussels sprouts. You're like, ew, I don't like it. Hey, guess what? Fitness ain't always about sunshine and rainbows. If we could have pizza every day and be fit, trust me, I would
It
be
was
about it.
bedtime. It
Yeah.
was bedtime.
Oh, it's
I was
bedtime.
that kid. It was that kid when I was that kid. My grandparents, my mom, like, I ate all the meats, all the pasta and stuff like that. And then they're like, if you don't eat your veggies, you're going to bed. All right, peace out. Good night.
Exactly,
Yo, that was me.
I'm going to
Don't
bed.
give me another option, okay? Because I'll take the latter.
He says, I'm going straight to bed. I will go
I'm
to
not
bed hungry. I'm not eating no broccoli.
hit him with that SpongeBob. All right, I'm gonna head out. But broccoli, yeah, broccoli and spinach, I can get down on.
But
I
that's it,
think,
right? You just pick things you like. That's what I'm saying.
yeah.
Like get things that sound good to you. I'm just saying, as a man in particular, again, I know at some competitive level, all bodybuilders are using, and it's been kind of proven, and some will admit it's not hard to tell if you are or aren't. But I'm just gonna say, if you're just a normal person, why are you doing this to your body, man? Just get the natural stuff.
Facts. Yeah,
Like
facts.
when you sit at a desk, you typing up tax, reforms or whatever, and that's all you do, and you out here big for what?
You out here big just to be big, bro.
Just be big for no reason, you know?
And if that's what you want, like, cool. But I mean, it's just I would hate for those type of people to influence the regular person into thinking like, this is what you gotta do to get big or whatever, when it's just they just need to hear the basic stuff they heard of as a kid. Like, bro, you just have to eat such and such and do what's best for you, and then just track your progress, whether that be in the gym or eating. So I'm totally with that. I'm at a spot right now where I wouldn't say dirty bulking, even though I do love my Chick-fil-A out here. And there's a couple other good like chicken spots. Shout out to Timmy's Hot Chicken, family owned business out here in North Carolina in Winston-Salem. They are fire. But it's either, and Dan can attest to this, I'm always making ground beef and rice. I got my rice cooker. Rice is always on deck. I just made some ground beef and some ground elk together. Boys got some ground turkey and ground chicken out here, and just, dude, it's a yeah, it definitely takes a good amount of discipline. If this is what you love doing, it doesn't feel like such a chore, And also, you can't outlift a bad diet. If you feel, even if you do look a certain way, you don't really know 100% what's going on in your body. So basically, that's why I'll always take pride in not doing anything detrimental to my health. Like, I've never smoked. Really don't have any intention on smoking. I shouldn't say never drank. I drink on occasion, whenever I'm hanging out with the guys or there's an outing and stuff like that. Like, my only thing is I take my health seriously for the most part. I love being in the gym. If I ever got stricken with an illness, let it be by chance or by some bad luck, not because I went to the doctor and they're like, well, because of those years of smoking, you develop lung cancer, or because you chewed tobacco for so long, you got gum disease, or you drank so much so your liver's shutting down and your kidneys are fucked. Like, I don't ever want it to be like that. You know, if you choose to do those things, like that's cool. Like, I'm not here to tell you that's right or wrong. Like, this is just my personal thing. Like, I got some family members that like to do their fair share of drinking. I got family members that, you know, that smoke. I got friends that smoke, you know, all that stuff. I'm just, hey, if you live a long life and you do everything that you want to do while doing all the other stuff, hey, kudos to you. Happy for you. But it's just, that's not the route I want to go through.
Absolutely.
All right, and it's crazy when you say stuff like that, and people be like, "Well, but what do you don't want to drink? Don't go out, have fun." Like, bro, nobody says you got to get fucked up to have fun,
Yeah,
man.
man. Everybody has
That's
to
on
understand it for
you.
moderation.
Yeah.
Like, that's on you. If that's what you
Yeah.
need, that's fine. But I'm gonna be all right over here.
True. True. And I know Dan said he had some keto questions. I don't know if they popped up for you again, bro.
Yeah. So what I was gonna ask, because like I tried it too, but like you said, I'm not big on counting calories, reading labels. So like I was kind of just doing it from what I just cut out, like, you know, carbs, and I was like, I'll just that's probably good enough. So I never did the test, and it didn't last long because I, you know, it was just at the time for me, it was just like super strict. But I did find that I heard about this too, so I don't know if you had any issues with it, but I was hearing about people going through like the keto flu, and I feel like I had it after a little while. I was like working out, I had like no energy, no, like I just felt depleted. And I think that's kind of why I didn't even want to continue to do it anymore. Did that happen to you at all, or you, if it
Yes,
did, and you just fought through it?
no, that happens to almost anyone just starting out. It could last a week, it could last 2 weeks. It really just depends on how far along your fitness journey is. It could last up to a month, to be quite fair, because the thing is, if you're just now starting out on your fitness journey, right, your body is already going to be going through some hardship. You're going to be a little bit more sore. You are going to be tired for the most part, probably a little bit after. On top of the fact, you're also introducing to your body a whole new diet. So you got to realize you're almost like giving it an electrocution, right? You're shocking the entire body, right? You're throwing it way off balance, out of its normal routine. When I tell people, hey, like, okay, yeah, you're starting a diet, you're starting a new fitness journey, you're going to the gym, good, great. And mentally, it can also be draining, but be careful about how you introduce these things and what type of training or what type of diet you're doing, because it will sap you. And then the keto in general, the reason why you felt awful is literally because of what it's trying to do. You're depleting yourself of carbs. Again, that's your number one energy source, your carbohydrates, right? When you deplete the body of it and it has nothing else to pull from, it's like, yo, what are you doing? I'm tired, bro. Where the rice at? Where the protein? And then,
Where the
like,
rice at,
where the
bro?
rice at? Where the rice at? Where the rice, sweet potatoes? You know, where the bread? Because you know everybody loves making sandwiches or having a burger. You know, bread is almost like a staple, I feel like, with almost every meal, or at least some sort of grain. So when you take that away, yeah, dude, you're gonna feel pretty awful.
Yeah, that's just sucks. So like, I remember like, so like I'm not as into fitness as you guys are. So Brian is my go-to where I have questions and ask him stuff, and he would always tell me like, "Dude, don't do a diet, man. It's not gonna work. You gotta change your lifestyle. Do something that you could like maintain." Like you said something earlier. So then like the other thing I did, which ended up for me being easy, like as I said, I'm not a breakfast person either. So I started just fasting and not eating until maybe like 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And then that starting my window there. And then even certain days I was going even further, not eating until like 6 o'clock at night. But then like another thing that I noticed is like for like the gym, I'm not a huge fan of going to the gym, but I go because that's what I gotta do. Like I don't enjoy it like some people do, but I just get in there, I get my lifts in like I'm supposed to. But I think the biggest thing that I realized was I was like cutting calories, so I was losing weight. But I think the biggest thing that I even just recently kind of hit me was I wasn't getting nowhere near the amount of protein I was supposed to be getting. So I think that's kind of so I didn't want to do those small windows of eating like I was just because I knew I wasn't getting the protein. So now, like you said, I in the morning I'll have like a protein shake, maybe another one for lunch if I'm out and about. But yeah, so I'm that's what I'm trying to do now. So it's not like a diet. It's more like make better decisions while I'm working out and just let the results come to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I really want to just run it back, man, from your statement earlier. You're saying that you go to the gym because you say you feel like it's something you have to do. That in itself is hard because I get a lot of clients, you know, that come see me because they feel like they have to, or they come to Orange Theory because they feel like they have to. I mean, yeah, all right. Number one biggest factor, you already paid for the service. You should get what you get out of your
Looking
service.
With your time.
You pay for anything, man. Subscription fee. You know I'm watching my Crunchyroll. So I'm binge watching anime. But the point is, I think a lot of that has to do with people not enjoying their time at the gym. Is really it's a mental game, you know. Obviously the number one is the hardships, right? Because a lot of people do feel insecure going, because you'll see people there that are, you know, well around their fitness journey and they look pretty decent. You sometimes you know, feel intimidated. I know women especially, if you're listening, I know you guys get intimidated from the clothes you wear, from the shoes you wear. Is your hair done? And I'm like, bro, none of that matters. Like, you're there to better yourself, you know? And that's a step into it as well. But also the workouts you do, right? I hear people saying, man, I hate doing squats. And I'm like, well, then why are you doing a squat? you can work lower body.
Way to build my legs. I'm right. Like, no, it's not the only way you can build your legs.
Yeah, it's not the only way. And that's in that, and that comes again a lack of knowledge, and people again, you know, I'm sure we're going to bring social media into this eventually, because this is all is going to tie right back into it, especially in our current generation. What you see on Instagram, what you see on TikTok, what you see on Facebook, whatever social media presence that you may consume daily is going to have fitness in it. And you're going to see all these people doing extravagant things, some more unnecessary than other. I know Brian and me were talking about that one dude. Bro, man was doing a pull-up with a was it the
Yes. Like the wind bike. Or...
Bro, why? For what?
Like...
For what? And when you see stuff like that, it's very hard to understand, obviously, what's for show and what is the content you consume, right? I think the biggest label or title people love to give themselves when you look decent in any shape or form is fitness influencer. And I watch a guy, what's his name, Prince EA, and he says the word influencer. Okay, well, are people leaving you with feeling better than, you know, before they came to look at your content? Are they leaving out with any bit of knowledge, you know? Now, I understand, you know, it's the gram. You're going to do it for some cap. You're going to do it for some clout, you know. Okay, cool, fine. But there should be some substance behind you of where you're not paywalling information. You know, if I have a little bit of information, yes, I would love to share it with people, because at the end of the day, man, it's all about, you know, being healthy, happy, and having a full life. You know, again, the small keyhole is looking good. Don't, you know, get the vanity, absolutely. But in the longer scope of things, you are looking to be around this earth, you know, a little bit longer each day. That's the big grand scheme. So definitely, you know, I would tell people to, you know, be excited to go to the gym. Again, don't treat it like a chore. If you don't like a certain exercise, don't do it. There's 9 million exercises out there that probably correlate to the same range of motion that you're trying to get into. You just have to search for it, or again, hire a personal trainer. Okay. And that's any personal trainer that you know, like give them a shot and don't underpay them. Don't be like, all right, can I get the friend discount? No, don't do that. You know, pay the man what it's worth. If they come into your job or a business and, you know, they have to pay you for something, pay them for what they're worth. The other thing is definitely, again, you know, get a diet that is going to best suit you, forever in a day.
Yeah, I got so many friends on both sides of the spectrum. Ones that can lift like way more than me all 8 days of the week, twice on Sunday, like just, and some that are just, they can run their ass off. Some that can diet better than me. Like, I think I'm not here to argue one thing is better than the other, or that one thing is absolute. Like, if I happen to have any of my buddies from back home that lift insane amounts of weight, listen to this. And this is just speaking towards like your regular gym goer, because the upper echelon is just a very, very small percentage of the fitness community. But the regular person is just trying to get started to go. Like, when you hear things like, you have to do this, or like, if you want to get legs, you got to squat heavier, you got to deadlift and stuff like that. No, there isn't just a one thing that says this is the only thing that's going to build your chest. This is the only way you're going to build your biceps. That's just not how it is. Like, and that's how some of these people get discouraged. Like, okay, you know, Maybe Dan doesn't want to go in there and do squats, but he still wants to build his legs. Okay, dude, there's hip thrusts, there's RDLs, there's split squats, there's a whole bunch of different things that you can do that doesn't involve loading your back up with a huge bar with an insane amount of weight and just dropping up and down doing squats. Like for somebody or for some of the my friends that I know that do that type of weight training and stuff like that, I just think it's ignorant for them to say that that's the only way to do it. Or it's the best way to do it. No, it should be incorporated. And if you're not doing that, then you should find something to supplement that movement if you want to build legs. And one of my favorite quotes as of late is, "Don't be upset at the result at the results for the work you didn't put in." So,
Big time.
you just got to find a routine that works for you. And at the end of the day, if you're honest with yourself, if you know it's going to get you to a certain point, then you have to be happy with the work that you put in. And if you're not, then you just have to change something. It's got to be enjoyable.
Yeah, I'm with that. So like when I go to the gym, like I said, I'm not like a huge fan, but I go because of the results I want. But like when I talk about like the lifts I do, with like other people who aren't like huge in the gym, like, damn, why are you lifting like so heavy? It's like, well, that's the only thing I enjoy doing. Like I don't like going and doing 15 to 20 reps of like a lighter weight. Like I like lifting heavy because I get a good workout in, I know I'm getting stronger. But the other thing is like some of the lifts that I don't like doing, like I will deadlift like once a week. I don't like deadlifting, but I do it because it's not like, yeah, I know there's other things I could do to benefit it, but I think it's more mental. Like mentally, I don't want to do it, but it's like I'm trying to fight that. Like I've heard Joe Rogan say that inner bitch in you. Like I'm not trying to let him win. Like fuck that. Like I don't want to, but I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna lift this heavy ass weight and I'll feel great afterwards. Like in the gym, I'm not like a super friend. Like, oh, I'm having a great time. Hey, how you doing? Oh, hey, what's up, Steve? How you doing, John? Like, no, I'm sitting there gasping for air, fighting for my life, trying to get through this heavy ass workout so I can get the fuck home. And but that's what I do because I think that's the only thing I would enjoy. I don't think I would enjoy being in there for, socializing for 2 hours, like working out social, like 2 hour plus. I know some people are in there forever. And I'm just trying to get in there, get my heavy workout in and get out. And I think that's what, works for me. And like when you were talking about like social media, that's why I send everything to Brian. I see some stuff. I'm like, is this cap or is this legit? Like I was like, I was like, I know he knows what he's talking about. I was like, I don't know this dude on Instagram. He just cause I mean you could do a wrong exercise long enough and you're gonna get some type of results. I was like, let me send to Brian, see what he says, because this looks stupid. And sometimes he'll be like, no, that's legit. That's legit. Sometimes I'm like, bro, don't do that.
Yeah, or I'll be like, that's good, but you don't need to do it. You know what I'm saying? There's a lack of responsibility on social. I think the top fitness influencers or just influencers in general that aren't fitness people, like they assume like they're trying to put out content and get likes or whatever, like push forward with their agenda, whatever it may be. But there's like an assumption on their part that everybody knows, like if it happens to be a joke or they're not serious about what they're posting, like it's just like a ha-ha type of thing. They have this assumption like the regular person's gonna know that that is a joke. When we saw that guy doing pull-ups, with the freaking bike strapped to his goddamn waist, you don't know if like a 15-year-old kid just walked in, has no idea what the gym is or what fitness is, and think that that's okay to do. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because we all started from somewhere. Like when we were younger kids, we were naive. We believed just about anything. So what makes you think that the generation after you is not going to believe that? Like as silly as it sounds. So,
No, I
yeah,
love
man.
everything you just said about responsibility, man. That is the key, excuse my language, fucking word, bro. Like, that is the key word. Like, I can't, I have friends who are very, very popular, which I'm fortunate enough to still be in contact with. And they kind of guide me, throughout social media, especially in about how to build your online presence and business. My one friend, Kwan, he goes by Train with Kwan. Very popular guy, man. This man just posted up a picture with himself with Adam Sandler. That's not the point. But
It's
you know
pretty
me,
dope, though.
he and I just had a discussion yesterday, and I was literally talking about the same guy I just mentioned, the one that was doing the pull-up bar, on the bike. And these were my words that I said to him. I said that look, I'm not going to discredit him as a trainer. I'm not going to discredit him as a human being or a person. You know, I'm sure he's very smart. I'm sure he's very well versed in his training. Like, I can't speak on, you know, his training style or whether it's worth it or not. You know, I'm not that client. But I am going to say, it's just like, all right, you may not be telling people to do this. But again, I hate to say it, us as human beings in society, you know, we funny. We see something, we just got to try it one time. Even if you know it's going to be the wrong thing to do, even though if it's going to get you in trouble, even though you know it might be harmful to your body, you're still going to try it at least one time, right? We're just curious like that. And again, because there's no like Justice League Council of you know, fitness personalities coming together saying, hey, we can't do that, you know, because we're all just solo acts, right? Where we're all trying to build our online business or business in general. You may try to be open to the gym. You know, that's a big aspiration of mine. And I hate to say it, jumping up and down looking like a fool and an idiot is going to get you likes, right? Because people, again, sometimes don't like to stomach actual facts first. You have to kind of give them a song and dance before they'll be like, oh, wow, this person actually, you know, is intelligible. He has something to say. Wow, he has information that is very useful to me and I can use it. But he still got a fire track, you know, in his class. Or, man, that workout was pretty high. Oh, man, he could do a muscle up. Oh, crazy. You know, like that's, you know, I guess the catch about it and behind it. But again, you still got to be responsible for what you put online. But it definitely have, you know, at least a backer saying, hey, don't try this at home or don't do this, people. This is unnecessary. You know, have a message behind why you're doing something ridiculous.
Like, I didn't have to come out when you started getting your nutrition thing. I didn't have to say, hey, disclaimer, we're not health experts and we're not licensed to give nutritional advice. We're just speaking on our own experiences, and you take that information and you do whatever you want with it. You know, I could have just let you go and say whatever you want to say, and someone would have taken that for gospel. Like, well, I mean, this guy on this podcast, Ty, did it. Yeah. It worked for him. Why didn't it work for me?
Exactly. You
know, we took responsibility and at least put it out there for anyone that wasn't aware.
Exactly. And it's a start, man. It's a step in the right direction. But again, you know, I hate to say it, they aren't going into this thing with the best intentions, right? You're going in hoping, obviously, to make some sort of dollar amount, whatever that is. Maybe it's fame, maybe it's fortune, but you know, any avenue you can take to get people to come to you and think that you're this credible person, great. But do something with the credibility that you've gained from these masses of people. I mean, having all the likes is nice, but having respect is a little bit better.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree. We're going to keep this roasting session going, and I'm going to let Dan take the reins on his little encounter at the gym. Dan, go ahead with this, bro.
Yeah. So this is the situation that happened that sparked, like, dude, we got to do like a gym etiquette or a gym episode so we can get on here and just talk shit about some shit we've seen at the gym. and so like I said before, it wasn't involving me, the situation, but I was adjacent enough where I was like in between the two people that had this going on. So I'm sitting there bench pressing, right? The dude next to me is benching by himself. And then like, kind of like if you're sitting at the end of the bench getting ready to lay down, like, you know, there's a machine in front of you, like a few steps. I think it's like a chest press. And the guy was on the chest press and I'm sitting there and I'm going around the front, you know, it's my turn to go. So I'm going around front and I sit down and I'm like hype myself up. So I'm not paying attention. Then all of a sudden I'm hearing that these two guys are talking and I start paying attention. And the one dude on the chest press machine was like telling the other dude that was benching, like, hey, man, stop looking at me. Everywhere I'm at, you're looking. And this dude, he was strong, but he wasn't nothing. Like, you know, when there's a huge dude in the gym, you look at him every now and then, like, what's he doing over there? Like, damn, that's a lot of weight. Like, he wasn't that big. So it's like nobody's looking at him like that, right? So he's like, everywhere I go, your eyes are on me, man. Stop looking at me. You know, I'm just saying that's a personal thing. And the dude benching that he was coming at was just like shrugging, says, like, okay, whatever, dude. Like, he didn't give him much attention. The dude kept saying things. I was like, damn, what the fuck? So I'm like, whatever. They got quiet. I hit my set. As I sit up, the dude that was benching, he didn't even bench yet. He was just sitting there. And I come around. He's like, he looks at me. He's like, hey, man, can you come here? I was like, yeah. He's like, I was trying to ask that dude over there for a spot. He was like, but he gave me the weirdest, like, I was giving the like eye contact to give him the now, like, because he had headphones on. So I couldn't just talk to him. So I was trying to give him the nod, like, hey, man, like, can you help me real quick? And he's like, gave me the weirdest fucking response I've ever gotten in the gym. I'm like, yeah, dude, I kind of heard that. It was kind of weird. I was like, yeah, dude, I got you. So the dude ended up being super nice. I spotted him a couple sets. He ended up being pretty chill. And then later in the day, I keep, now that I've seen that dude, get all pissed off, I'm like, dude, what's that? What else is that dude doing? So I'm watching him like, shit, is he gonna yell at somebody else? I'm like, let him yell at me, dude. I'll let him know, like, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? You ain't all that. But at the end of his session, the dude goes to the people that work at the gym, and I can see him complaining about this dude and like pointing at him. I'm like, bro, is this, I was like, if this dude's really gonna like complain that this dude was trying to ask for a spot and like he took it the wrong way, I was like, so I was getting frustrated. I'm like, dude, if the worker goes up to this dude, I'm gonna go over there. I'll get a character witness. I'm like, no, this dude's chill. He was just trying to get a spot. Like that dude blew it out of proportion. Like, I don't know if he's, mid-cycle on some steroids or something, he's getting pissed
Hey
off.
man, you never know.
I was like,
I'm telling
I don't know what's up with that dude. So the dude ended up leaving. The worker, he did a lap, but he never talked to the dude. So I don't know if he like just took off walking to like make that dude think he was gonna go talk to that guy or not. But yeah, I was like, dude, this is, I was like, that dude is, he was way out of pocket and he took it way too far. Even if he thought the dude was staring at him, was like, hey bro, don't be looking at me. But like, then he had to go like on top of it, had to go snitch to the people that are working there, like, hey, this guy's over here staring at me while I'm working out. Like, nobody's look, everybody there, it, like, that's the thing when people get, like you said, insecure at the gym. Ain't nobody really looking at it. Everybody's trying to get their own shit done. Most of the people are in there fucking fighting for their life, trying to get, swole. Nobody cares. They're focused on themselves. I was like, this dude thinks people are like staring at him. And the dude he was coming at, it's not like he was staring at, like, that dude was jacked too. So it's not like he was looking at that dude like, oh, what's he doing? He's so strong. Like he was just like, hey,
You ain't shit.
like
Right,
he
exactly.
looked bigger than him. So he and he
Yeah.
wasn't like an intimidating guy either. He was real chill about it. Bro, I just wanted a spot. That's all I needed.
Should've got out my Debo. What chain?
Yo.
Get his ass, bro.
I have a I have something to follow up on that. I have my own fair share. I'm sure Brian, unless you want to go first, bro. You
No, go
good.
ahead,
Yeah,
Ty.
okay.
Go ahead, bro.
All right. So, me personally, I am very antisocial. I am very much an introvert when it comes to the gym. If I invite you to come work out with me, that's like a best invitation you can receive from me because I legit am solo. I feel like I'm at my best when I'm on my own. Partner workouts just annoy me because I don't want to have to worry about, oh, can this such and such keep up with me? I can just go do my thing. I hate to say it, most people I bring, they complain a lot, and I just not about it. Now Brian's worked out with
Yeah,
me.
it's tough. It's
Yeah,
tough. His training style is different. I'll tell you that.
it's definitely different, and it's definitely evolved, like from what we did way
Oh, I
back when.
imagine.
Yeah,
I
man,
imagine.
it's definitely different now. Like I said, I hybrid train. But to be relevant about the story, there are gonna be times where you're in the gym and just how you look, your demeanor. A lot of people can't really tell just by the way you look, what you're trying to say. Because obviously body language is a big percentage of about how people are gonna perceive you, right? Without having to talk to you. And that's damn near anywhere you go. You could be walking down the street like, oh man, that dude looks scary, or wow, that person looks nice, or wow, she looks cute and hot. I'm pretty sure she's, super smart too, right? So and as a male, again, in a gym setting, how you look is gonna determine your experience sometimes, not all the time. I know I look pretty aggressive when I'm like getting into my zone because like I legit like stare and blank out and like my eyes are just like super like wide and stuff like that. And I'm just breathing hard, depending on what I'm doing. And people are just like looking at me like, yo, this man ain't playing today. And mind you, again, bro, I'm short. I'm 5'6", right? I'm currently sitting at, funny enough, my weight is 166.6. That is literally my weight. So I'm not all that big,
Demon time.
The demon hours,
Demon
baby.
time.
You already know.
The demon hours.
As we call them, the 5 a.m.ers, we demon hours, baby.
For
But
real.
when people see me sometimes, like I can get it how I can be perceived as somewhat intimidating. But funny enough, I put on my headphones all the time, and I have so many people that love to come up and talk to me and ask me like, how did you do that? Like my favorite pull up that I typically do on a pull day after I'm doing bicep curls is called a headbanger. It literally looks just like I'm floating in air because I'm just pulling myself towards a bar. I'll have to send
Are you
Brian
straight leg or are you
straight legging
like
it.
V-sin? Okay.
Straight legging, dog. Straight leg, straight leg.
Okay, my bad.
L shape, baby. L shape.
L shape. Okay, I got you.
A lot of people ask about that, and I'm working on my front planche as well, my mat work on the ground. And you know, I have a lot of people that come up like, "Hey man, how are you getting into your advanced calisthenics?" You know, and then you catch people just staring at you, and like, I don't mean to put on a show. I literally try to go away from everyone because I know it's gonna happen sometimes. So I try to make it as inconspicuous as possible. But I'd say it, you know, by 6, 7 o'clock, you know, people start flooding in, and depending on where I'm at in my set and what I'm doing in my routine, people are just gonna catch a glance, you know. I remember there was one guy, he was doing dips by me, and I was doing a more advanced set of dips. And then I just noticed that he kept switching up his variation to almost kind of mock or mimic mine. And then I kept going around the gym, and then he just kind of seemed to follow me. I don't get mad, man. Like, I'm just like, yo, there is, like, even if you were having a low key challenge to me, like, I don't care. And I hate that's where my mentality goes, but that's honestly been my experience sometimes, especially at those macho like gyms. But some people really are just, like you said, looking for help or advice. And that's why I never like take it the wrong way, because I don't know what that person's thinking. Funny enough, I finally get over to the weight floor. I started working on my stability training with stability ball and my kettlebells, doing push-ups and whatnot. Again, like I said, I'm trying to get into my front planches. So it's a very hectic ass thing to train for, and I've been working my ass off. I'm kind of getting there, so I'm feeling good about it. But I know him, the guy, what was his name? It was Kevin. And he's like, "Yo, man, I've been watching you all day." And he's like, "I've been trying to ask you, what are you doing for your calisthenics?" And I'm like, "Oh, that's why this guy's just been literally following me around like a puppy dog." So, like, again, it's like you said, you never know what people are thinking. You know, are you gonna have it where you're gonna have those macho guys try to come challenge you because you're lifting a certain amount of weight, and they're gonna look over and be like, "Psh, it's whatever." I don't think I get that much anymore, because I think people see that the way my hybrid training is, they just leave me alone. I'm the weird dude in the gym. You know, and then you may, I don't know, there might be an attractive young lady right there. You know, you look up and just happen to just stare at her location. She might get the wrong signal, you know, like, or think that you're being a creep. And it's like, "Yo, bro, I just looked up, bro. Like, I mean, I can't help, like, ADHD when I'm working out." Like, it's like, for real, dude. Like, I like look everywhere, and
Yes.
I'll be chewing my gum and stuff like that. And like, sometimes I feel like I know I look like I'm staring at people, but I'm literally looking through you.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't see you at all. And like, no disrespect to anyone at the gym, I don't pay much attention to people, especially if I didn't come in with the intentions of training with a partner that day. It's just like, no one's on my mind but me and what I got to do that day.
Yeah, I'm around the environment so much to where, like, yeah, I don't be staring at people like that, bro. Like, there was a, I remember at Charter Fitness, or when it was Cardinal Fitness, I thought this dude, he was much older than I was. He was pretty big up top. I couldn't really tell if he had legs, to be honest with you, because he always wore pants. I'm just gonna assume no. But he seemed like a nice, friendly guy, but he had the worst forward head, because every time, if he was not currently lifting something, he was always looking down. And I'm like, bro, like, I get it, like, people want to be locked in, you know, and they want to be focused, but that just looks like you're trying way too hard to avoid everybody. Like, you're, it's to the point where it's awkward. I'm like, bro, it's just weird. Like, you know, I've never been diagnosed with ADHD, but damn, if a telltale sign is I just be looking around and can't hold still in the gym, like, that's me. Like, I just be looking around at everybody, because I'm like, I can't just sit here after my set and just pretend I'm occupied when I know I'm not, by nothing. Like, I'm going to look around. I may glance at you more than once, but I don't know what else to do at this point in time until I start to lift again. So, you know, and I kind of sense, like, there was a couple times I seen one kid, he was super excited that he put up 270. If I happen to be walking by, I'll be, "Hey man, that was really good, man. I can see you're excited about that." Like, you know, give him, and I'm a complete stranger to this person, but they might take it like, "Man, that's awesome." Like, you know, encouraging them, you know, to want to stay in there, to want to keep grinding, you know, because I know plenty of people did that for me when I was coming up. And I'm a people
That's
person like that
nice.
anyway, so I love being able to do that, and I'll give that props to anybody. I'll be like, "Man, you look like a beast," or whatever. Or, you know, girls, obviously, like, their staples are legs, but if I see they got well developed arms, I'm like, "Hey," I'm like, "Actually, you've been training arms, like, that your shoulder's really popping, it's coming along," and like, they love that type of stuff, you know. And I'm not, I got nothing to gain out of it. I'm just, you know, you never know if that person needed to hear like that positive comment. You know, so I'm always gonna give them that. Now, I've already told Dan about this too. Like, you know, there's some people that they could literally 25 could drop on their chest, and I'll look the other way because they'd be pissing me, bro. Man, I'll tell you what, bro. I just you probably get this sometimes too. You know, maybe not so much anymore because your workouts be crazy as fuck, but you have some old heads coming to you. Man, when I was your age, hold on, bud, let me stop you right there. You never did this at my age.
Yo,
You were never like me, bro.
yes,
And it may sound
yes,
arrogant, bro. And I don't
yes,
care. I don't
yes.
care if it sounds arrogant to you. You've never done what I've done. You don't know what I know. You've never done the movements that I've done or trained at my style. And you probably can't right now. Even the people that are my age, you might be a little bit stronger than me. Your cardio might be a little bit better. And you know, I might not be able to do maybe your particular workout at said weight. But weight is only relevant to you. But I'll tell you what, if you let me take the reins on the workout, you'll be gasping for air when we're done. I know that.
Fast. Been
So,
there.
yeah, and I've been there for Ty too. Like, Orange Theory Fitness is one example. We've trained with each other at Classics once, and then I went to his little studio out in Valpo at like 5 a.m. And that one was tough. Like that one, I was really tested, you know, as far as like cardio goes. So, you know, everybody's got their niche. So I will. Like, I'm usually pretty low key. I'm confident in my abilities and what I've done. Physical therapy definitely allows me to expand my training style and know how to fully engage a certain muscle and stuff like that. So, what may look like a unorthodox lat pull down or a row or a bench setup to somebody else, they just don't know how the mu musculoskeletal system works on the level that I know it works in. Okay. So, you know, everybody's got their thing, but you know, it's just, you know, some dudes, they be looking at you sideways, bro. I'm just like, bro, you do not want these
You
problems
got
right
right.
now.
You don't want the smoke, my guy. Come over here. Let me see you do some good pull-ups.
You out here bringing a gun to this fight, and you ain't got no bullets, bro.
No.
Like, just.
But to capitalize on what you said, yes, and it's usually again the older generation of fitness. Again, they're set in their ways, right? Those old iron gym heads. You got the jazzercise Pilates ladies. Oh, we used to do it this way, you know, and they kind of bring a whole new element to fitness where I'm just like kind of cringe at. It's just like, all right, cool. Well, yeah, we had corded phones back in the day, and yeah, they got the job done. But are you saying that the smartphone is not better than a
Yeah, you
corded landline phone? All right.
I'm not allowed to level up, is what you're
Right,
saying.
right. Yeah, it's like you're not allowed to do better. And again, there are older people out there who are, you know, obviously keeping very good up with their health and keeping up to date what fitness has to offer, but man, I'm tired of looking at all the PT taped up old dudes, got five, six, seven different wraps on. I got a deadlift belt on. They damn near looking like an Eskimo, but with like fitness gear to keep their body intact. And it's just like I can only imagine all the terrible lifting that you're doing. And they still squat with their back, you know, like it's and but those be the same guys. Yeah, you a little lower off on that press up, and I'm like, hold up, let me get up real quick, old man. Hold up.
So I'll give you another example that has nothing to do with fitness, right? So I was practicing last Saturday. I was at the bowling alley, and I'm in a Tuesday night singles sports shot league. So when you go to a regular bowling alley, there's a house shot. It's usually pretty consistent. It's the same almost anywhere you go, but with these sports shot patterns, it's basically what the professionals will bowl on, whether it be on the national level or the regional level. So it takes much more skill, and if you have not practiced on certain things in your game, you'll be tested. So this particular pattern I was having some trouble on. So last Saturday I went to go practice, right? There's certain parts of my physical game that I have to break down and work on. It's more than just getting up to the line, running or walking up there and throwing the ball, right? If I need to work on getting down lower, I got a drill for that. If I need to work on my release or my arm swing, I got a drill for that. it doesn't always just come together. Okay, so like, let's say you wanted to work on like if you're just doing bicep curls, but you don't have any scapular retraction, right? And you got that stuff locked in, you might not be able to curl as much or curl as high. So some rando or someone that thinks they know what they're talking about might come to you, hey man, if you want to do that bicep curl a little better, you might want to try to curl a little bit higher. Okay, well, like I could do that if my shit wasn't locked in, but I'm working on this. So that's basically what I was doing at the bowling alley, right? So I'm instead of running up to the line and releasing like I normally do, I'm at the line. I'm down and I'm just going through a little swing, trying to get loose, and I'm just working on my hand position, my release. This lady comes over, much older than I am, and she's like, "You know why your ball is doing what it's doing or whatever?" I was like, "Yeah, why is that?" And she's like, "'Cause you're not getting it out like this way and blah blah." I was like, "Oh, okay." I was like, "I got you." And so I throw several more balls. She continues to sit there and watch me. She's like, "Yeah, you gotta try and like move this way and try to throw it here or whatever and stuff." I was like, "Oh, okay." I was like, "Well, I'm just practicing, right? I don't know if you've seen anybody. No one just stands at the line and just throws the way I do, right? This is a practice routine." And she's like, "Oh, okay." Still sits there, proceeds to watch me. Still going through my normal drill. She's like, if you keep throwing or practicing a certain way, you'll probably end up throwing like that in like the real game and stuff like that." I was like, "That's not how that works." I'm like, "Have you been to the gym at all? Have you practiced on a jump shot before? Have you like honed a particular skill that involves actually breaking down the movement itself?" I was like, "That's basically what I'm doing. I'm like, I bowl just fine. I've been doing it for 20 years. I've won on different levels. I've won at different events. Like, this is how you work on certain parts of your physical game. So I don't really care what you had to say or, what you did when you were younger and stuff like that. Like, this is just how I'm doing it. And I guarantee you were never as good as I was." And she just walked away. I could still see her watching from a distance. I still went through my same drill, but it's the same thing in the gym, bro. It's like, you don't, at least if you ask me why I'm doing a certain thing, I can justify it and give you like facts like on it. Like those old dudes you see at the gym that like wear the weightlifting belt all the time, got them shit, their shit taped up. They'll tell you, "Oh man, it feels good on me and it helps me lift," but they can never give you factual reasons why it works the way it does or it could work. That's the part that irritates me.
Yeah, so that's the big key takeaway, right? Knowing what you're doing and knowing what you're training, and you already have the goal in your mind as soon as you step in that gym, like, bro, it's so meticulous, like the way I do my training. Like I'm on my stopwatch all the time, bro. I'm tracking how long I'm taking my breaks. I'm tracking how long I'm going, between my sets. I'm damn near almost tracking how long it takes me to walk over to one piece of equipment to the next. And because I'm in there for 2 hours, I got to make it count. But yeah, that's the other thing. I guess when it comes down for gym etiquette, because this seems what we're talking about, being courteous, offering advice when it wants. Because you know how many times I want to tell people, "Yo, that's wrong," but I can't. It's not the same concept. Like, oh, if you're a doctor and you see someone in trouble, you have the right to help them. The Hippocratic oath that you take. It ain't the same thing as a personal trainer. Is if you out there listening, if you see something wrong, you got to kind of gauge the situation. Like sometimes it is really nice to help people who clearly don't know what they're doing, but you have to be very, very careful how you approach it. Because again, the very first thing that you're going to come off is narcissistic, and you know it all, right? And depending on, again, on how your confidence is and how you approach the situation, they might take it that way, or they might be very gracious. You never know. They might, again, want someone to help them or spot them, like Dan was talking about. It's very hard in the gym to gauge where people's minds are, especially when it comes down to interactions. I ain't gonna lie, bro. I just play it safe. I throw the headphones on. I mind my own business. If I don't personally get asked for help, then I typically leave it alone.
Same.
Again, like I said, I see bad form all the time. I hear bad advice from people all the time. That's the number one reason, again, why I gotta wear headphones. Not just from, again, average gym goers, I'm speaking on of the personal trainers. You know, like, again, you know, we want to talk about accountability. There's some bad personal trainers out there, like, where I'm just
absolutely.
Like, what are you talking about? who licensed you to do anything?
There's a, and I'm sure you've seen videos, and I'm not advocating for this either, like, people getting videotaped in the gym that are doing some weird workout, or they're, you know, they're basically cooking them, you know, and I'm just like, I'm not for that. As funny as it may look,
it's funny sometimes, but
you don't know how that, like, you know, what if that person have seen it, and you don't know how damaging that could be to them. But, the comments that I see on there is like, well, instead of videotaping them, why don't you go up and give them advice on good form? Okay. When is that ever been okay to do for anybody? Yeah. When is it a good time? You just like those same people that are coming that are probably the same ones that are giving unsolicited advice in the gym that we just want to tell you to shut the fuck up. Like,
exactly.
So, you know, I'm kind of the same way. Unless I'm asked, I won't tell. Mm-hmm. And I know I had a little rant earlier, but I'm not immune to advice. Like, as long as I've been bowling and as much as I've accomplished, I know that there are many, many better bowlers. I know there's many, many better lifters than me, but I gauge that for myself, and I'm okay with receiving advice. I ask for advice all the time in the gym, you know, or in the bowling alley to people that I think that are better than me, but they'll turn around and say, no, man, like, you know, you're such and such. But I'm like, no, I'm a student. I'm always going to be a student to whatever I'm doing. So yeah, it's just hard to gauge when to give somebody advice and stuff. But I think, you know, whenever you are asked, you know, just give them the best advice to the best of your ability, and just leave them with the, hey, this is what's worked for me. I'm not saying this is what's going to work for you, but if you want to give it a try, like, by all means do it. And if it don't feel right, you know, you don't have to do it no more. And that's exactly.
Yeah. See, I've definitely received, cause like, you know, saying, well, Brian knows. So like, I'm an engineer. So like, I like to look into researching things. Like when I got into lifting, I said, I also wasn't a huge fan of the gym. So I wanted to be as like effective and efficient with like my movements and what I was trying to do as I could be. So I did a lot of research, and I, you know, knew a lot of stuff, but I wasn't confident enough to give advice. So like when I would get unsolicited advice, I remember one time I was working out with a buddy and we were doing cable curls, and I was like telling him like all this dude that I was like researching, and I was like, this like variation of curls, instead of leaving your elbow like pinned to your side, when you'd curl up, you let your elbow drift up a little bit in front of you, and then you get that squeeze, and to get like, you know, a better squeeze. And it's like, not every curl I'm doing am I pulling my elbows up, but like that variation we were doing, you're saying I was bringing, you know, curling up, letting my elbows drift in front of me and getting up a little higher so my shoulder would rotate a little bit. And you know, I'm sure you know exactly why that works and why that's like a good thing to do sometimes, but I'm not confident enough to know exactly. Like, I watched the video. He was talking about the muscle insertion and how to get a good squeeze. And I was like, cool, that sounds good. I'll try it. And it felt good. So, like, I've been doing it for a while. And then I had this dude at the gym when I was working out with a buddy. And he was, you know, I'm not going to say I don't like taking advice from people who aren't stronger than me, because like, I have sneaky strength. But, like, if you're not stronger than me, but you look like you know what you're doing, I'll take advice. You know, so this dude, he was, for one, he wasn't stronger than me. But he didn't pass the second test. He didn't look like he knew what he was doing also. Like, he looked like he was newer to the gym too. And, like, so I'm sitting there doing these curls. And he, like, tells me, like, hey, you know, and I'm, like, showing the dude I'm working with how to do them. He's like, hey, leave your elbows down. I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, I just, like, brush. I'm like, no, I'm good. This is what we're doing. And then he, like, kept trying to explain to me, like, so then the dude I'm working with, he's like, should I keep my elbows in? I'm like, no, dude, like, I've research this. I'm not just in here figuring it out. Like, I don't do something unless I've watched videos or like, I mean, but I like to watch Athlean X on YouTube. He like talks about all types of stuff like that, and I'm pretty sure that's where I got it from. Mm-hmm. I was like, no, yeah, like, that dude, I know he knows what he's talking about. So this dude was random skinny dude at the gym. I'm not trusting his input right now. Like, I'm not doing something new that I've never done before. I'm doing it because I've looked into it. So part of me wanted to explain that to him, like, well, no, this is why you do it. But I wasn't confident enough and didn't know the terminology enough or, like, you know, the science behind it. I knew. I watched it. I trusted it. So I told the dude, like, oh, no, this is just how we're doing it. And it's like, part of me wanted to be like, no, this is why I'm doing it.
But, like, but then, like, no one wants to hear it. Like, it's like, because either they don't have the patience to listen to it, or you make them look stupid. You know, and then it's like a lose-lose either way, you
That's
know?
an ego situation, which again is another thing in the etiquette of gym. Watch your ego.
That's
watch
true.
Your damn ego.
There's another favorite is you want when you watch the basketball players like LeBron James, there'll be like a squat video of him. Hella comments. He needs to get down lower. He needs to get down lower. That's not a full squat. Okay, listen, bro. First of all, none of you guys are NBA athletes. Okay. secondly, you guys aren't LeBron James, and you train for your particular sport and what are your goals?
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, prime example for me. When I do, let's say, bicep curls, if some rando just saw me that thinks they know what they're talking about, saw me doing 20, caught me in the middle of doing 21s and saw me doing half curls, right? From the bottom into halfway up,
mm-hmm.
they might stop me and think like, this guy don't know what the fuck he's doing. Like, hey, you should curl all the way up. But the advanced lifter, someone that actually knows what they're doing, will notice, hey, he's doing a particular style for his biceps that's still mechanically correct and beneficial with minimal risk of injury.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So I tell him like, okay, if I wanted to do like my legs, if I want to do RDLs and stuff like that, if I wanted to get down all the way to my lowest point for an RDL, I would do that. I would train so. But no, I am lifting in this particular range of motion, keep the constant tension. Could I go down lower? Could I squeeze a little bit harder at the top? Yeah, I could. And I know the benefits of that. You couldn't tell me that. And I just explained to you why I'm working out in a certain fashion that still makes sense. But I don't expect you to understand or comprehend that. And that's not a knock on you. That's more of a testament to just how long I've been doing this and just how much I know, and that I will continue to try and grow and know. So,
yeah, I can 100% contest that. It's again about knowing, well, really it's the known of the unknown, because again, bro, we don't know what all these people are training for. To refer to, you know, squatting in general, again, a lot of people don't like squatting, because I remember my first real video, bro, I got so many comments saying that, oh, you're not going down low enough, oh, you're not going down low enough. And this is before, you know, who I am today and the knowledge that I've accrued. I go back mm-hmm. to that video and I'm like, hey, y'all can stop talking shit, because I was actually good.
Mm-hmm.
I was 75 degrees, you know. But the biggest thing, what everybody say to squat, right? Ass to the grass, right? No.
Right.
That's wrong. Like modern science now tells us 90 degrees is really where you want to go for most human beings. And 90 degrees, again, is subjective, dependent on how tall you are, right? People don't calculate. Exactly. No one calculates for their own body length, right? When you're talking about range of motion, when you're talking about flexibility, all this stuff is subjective, because, again, I'm 5'6". I'm going down to my 5'6 length of whatever exercise I'm doing, right? For some mm-hmm. people, right? Right, you know, they may not enjoy bench press. I really enjoy it. I don't got that far to go. My wingspan ain't that big. You know, I'm going down, like five, right back up. I'm good. You know, you got a much larger wingspan than me, Brian. I don't know how you feel about chest press, but you may not enjoy it. Not saying that you don't, but you know, I'm just giving it as an example of, you know, people not liking certain exercises and trying to stick with it, thinking that that's the one that's going to get them results, because, you know, again, there's only so many times you can reinvent the wheel when it comes down to fitness. And I get that, but there's, again, avenues that you could take. There's now machines to help you accomplish these goals of most exercises without minimal or no risk at all.
Or just the inability to modify, mm-hmm. you know, again, this is just the easiest one to refer back to, but squats. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can go narrow, you can go wide,
yep.
You can go shoulder width, but one, what exactly are you trying to target? What's your goal? Okay. What are you training for? And, will your hips allow you to work within that stance?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like when I was younger, a little bit younger, I loved narrow stance squatting. Like literally feet would just to be within shoulder width, and I would squat narrow. I mean, there's risk and reward to that. I wasn't very strong in lifting with a wide stance. One, because I felt like I didn't have the flexibility to be able to get down comfortably in that position without not getting to 90 or my low back rounding off and stuff like that. So, you know, just being able to modify that type of stuff, or even like in the leg press, like the people that leg press, they're like, "Well, you're not going down all the way." And I'm like, "Okay, well, what's going down all the way?" And I'll have them demonstrate it, and I'll see their butt get off the pad, or I'll see their low back start to round off. I'm like, "See, you one, if you want to get down lower, work on your fucking hamstring flexibility. And if you're not going to work on that, then you need to stop shorter before that back shot's round off, because you're not only putting that load on your legs, you've now put that load on your lumbar spine that's flexed when it's not supposed to be in that movement." So there you go.
Exactly.
Yeah, dude, it's bro. I could literally go on and on as far as like
it really is. It's so much like stuff. I do want to ask Dan, is there any other things that you feel like you want to know about gym etiquette in general before we maybe go off to another topic?
Nah, man, I think I'm pretty good. I'm just that dude, man. I don't like to talk too much. Like you said, you're kind of antisocial. I obviously from this small talk we've had, I know my workouts aren't as crazy as yours, but I still, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of unsolicited advice, but I take it from afar. I'll see somebody who looks pretty strong doing something, and I'll kind of watch, like, all right, I'm gonna try that. I'm that dude that was like following you. I'm like, I want to try that. I'm gonna see how that feels, you know what I mean? But I won't come up and ask, hey, how are you doing this? I'll just be like, let me see how it feels. Let me try it out.
Exactly. I think all of this can really be wrapped up to is to be kind, man. Be a human being. Understand we all come from different walks of life. We all get our information from different sources. And whether we find those things to be true or not, that's just something you, being mostly adults, have the responsibility on, you know, finding out, well, if this has some validity to it or if it doesn't. But being that we're talking the realms of fitness, I will say almost everything that you see in fitness has a viability. Okay. Even the guy with the pull-ups and the assault bike, right? I do weighted pull-ups. I pull three plates. It's a hard thing. It's a hard task, and it's very hard on your body and a very hard thing to train for. Will I go grab an assault bike to do it? No.
Probably not.
But I can rationalize somewhat in my brain why someone would do that. But again, you know, be kind in the gym. Note that everyone is on their own journey. Stop stressing about going in the gym, worrying about, you know, who's around you and doing what. Focus on yourself. That's the only way you don't make your progress, right? When you worried about what somebody else is doing. And this can really be spoken on multiple levels of what I'm saying, but focus on yourself. You go into that gym, you focus on yourself. You throw your headphones on. I like to chew gum when I work out. Chew gum. Whatever you got to do, man, get into your zone. That's going to help you, you know, make progress. That's what it's about.
Cause they're not worried about you. Like they legit, they might look at you for like 2 seconds and then just go back to whatever, what the fuck they were doing. And they got their own shit that they're probably worried about outside the gym, man. So if whoever's listening, whether you're a guy or a girl, just one, get in there and just do something that is fun and enjoyable for you. Cause I know when I started, it was another area that, one, I enjoyed working out at the time, but it was another opportunity for me to hang out with a couple of my other buddies, and we all enjoyed doing that. So if that's your getaway and that's your reason for doing what it is you're doing and you're happy doing it, then by all means, like if that's how you start, please do it.
Yeah, I also think it's like another thing, like for people that I'd say like me who don't actually enjoy, like you said, do something fun, bro. There's nothing in there I do that I think is fun, bro. I don't like
find
it.
Find something, brother. Find something.
You gotta find something, bro.
Like to me, I think it's more like the driver is. It's, you know, I've had a pretty comfortable life. You know what I mean? Like I haven't had any, you know, I haven't had too much craziness in my life. Where like that is where I go and create my uncomfortability. I don't want to be in there. I don't want to have this weight over my head. You know, I'd rather be home kicking it, but I'm mentally trying to be tougher by going and doing something I don't want to do. That's going to overall, it's a net positive. I'm getting stronger, healthier, losing the weight I want to lose. So it's like, it's not like I'm forcing myself to do something that's unhealthy for me. I'm doing something that is beneficial. And it's also for some people, it's more of a mental battle than for others. I'll be like, yeah, hell yeah. We deadlifting today. I remember when I was used to be able to work out at work, every on deadlift day when I would wake up for our deadlift day, I'd wake up literally the first thought in my head as soon as I woke up, not like damn it's early, damn I gotta work, I'd wake up like I gotta deadlift today, man, fuck, get up, get ready for work. And all day I was like, damn, I know I'm deadlifting, but I hated it. And I'd get there after my first couple sets, and when I'd be done, I'd feel great. Like, oh, dude, I mentally pushed through this, even though I knew I didn't
You
want to.
overcame an obstacle.
Yeah, so I think for me, that's like one of the biggest things, is just being able to mentally put myself in uncomfortable situations, that, you know, and get better at it, like tougher mentally as well as physically.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you hit the nail on the head, brother. You again have to find your reasons why you do this, regardless of whatever they mean. And I hate to say it, everybody has their reasons, good and bad, you know, negative and positives of why they go to the gym. I don't just call it demon hours on purpose. I call it demons hours because I get mad, man. Like, I'm very a nice, humble guy, bro. Like, it's just that, you know, the world, especially where we are currently, it's hard to always be an upbeat person all the time. People always want you to be cheery and excited. It's hard because sometimes you want to be like, yo, I'm not okay. And that's where I go to be not okay sometimes. I
Feel
think
you.
everybody deserves to have that space, regardless if it's a gym. I don't care if you're reading a book, watching TV, or you like to go to a coffee shop, write a novel. You got to have that space that's truly your own, where you can be, you know, excited to be in and feel like it's not like the world isn't coming crashing down on you. I think everybody needs that.
Absolutely, man. I'm a let you have that dark space at times, but because you had given me a little gas earlier when we started this. I do vividly recall what Ty looked like so many years ago when he worked at GameStop. Dude was your legit, like, black avatar character out of a Tony Hawk Pro Skater game with the skinny jeans on, bro. Like, you dressed straight out of Hot Topic. Like, and I remember talking with you more when we were at St. Mary's. You know, I was like, hey man, you know, you were used to work at GameStop and stuff like that, and we would chop it up. And Ty, his arms, you could definitely tell he was working out and stuff like that. But I mean, initially I never knew, like, me or Gio played a role at all with,
Huge,
you know, his fitness journey.
huge. I
But
still credit y'all every day.
and I do appreciate that, man, because I mean, even to this day, like, fitness is forever evolving. I'm forever, like, learning and just trying to develop and get better. But at that time, I just, from 2015 to 2018, I just felt like I was at, like, the height of my powers, and I felt so good about what I was doing. And working in the hospital and it being as physically demanding as it could be, like, made you, like, if you did not feel strong before when you were in there, like, working at that job made you want to get stronger, because you're like, you know, you're working with people that, you know, some of them can't move, some of them are overweight, and you know, at that hospital there weren't that many guys. So
No.
I remember me having to be on every floor, nurses be like, oh, we got transfer this 400 or 500 pound patient, we need bodies or whatever. Oh, Brian can supplement 4 female bodies. Oh, what, ma'am? I'm not a
Hey,
lift
they're
service.
like, you are
So
today.
yeah, exactly. So no, definitely. I'm super proud of, like, where Ty's at, because I mean, we've had extended conversations of, you know, the come up, and when you said that you had quit your job, and obviously you got a family to support, that's not an easy decision. I mean,
No.
I feel like the majority would have bit the bullet and did something that they hated because they had to, with no other, like, plan B. You took the jump, and you're like, you know what, this isn't what I want to do right now, but I kind of have a vision, and it involves me quitting my job, and we may be in the red for a little bit. But now, I would say if you're not there, you're definitely on your way up. I mean, aesthetically, this dude's a beast. Performance wise, this dude's a beast. So
Appreciate
he's
it,
not
bro.
just all show, no go. Like, this guy knows what he's doing. So anybody that's just looking for personal training in general, like, hit him up on the Instagram. Obviously, we're gonna tag him. If you guys are out in Florida, you said you're in Orlando.
Yep, Orlando, man. Sunshine State, what's up?
Yeah,
Disney World.
Orange Theory Fitness, stand up. Like,
Yeah.
so hit up my boy Ty. He definitely can get you right. But you know, he's as friendly as they come, but he's very stern. If you're serious with him, he will get serious with you. So just, you know, if health is important to you and you want to be here for a good time and a long time, then, you know, take your health serious.
Absolutely.
So, Dan, you guys got anything else that you would like to add before we possibly sign off on this one?
Yeah, man, I just want to say, good episode, man. You guys, I know Brian's always been a motivating factor for me, but after this talk with you, Ty, I know we haven't spoke much outside of this, but you guys are definitely motivating for me. And I know I'm kind of still in the, I'm in the process of still starting my journey. I mean, I've been working out for a few months again. I've had a stint off, so I'm still trying to get back to where I was and exceed that. So definitely gonna be checking your guys' Instagrams and stuff out every now and then for some motivation. And obviously, me and Brian talk every day, so he's gonna be the one, like, he's always hitting me up. Did you work out today?
I'm in his ear.
He's
I'm
been
in his ear,
addressing the
bro.
issue.
Yeah, he's in my ear. My brother randomly texts me, last week was like, "Hey, go for a mile today." And I was like, "Fuck, all right, man." I wasn't planning on it, but it's, that type of stuff I take to heart. So I appreciate you guys.
Absolutely, bro. So
Absolutely.
Ty, anything else you want to add, brother?
Nah, man. Number one, I just want to again thank you guys for having me again. I'm a nobody trying to be somebody one day. So again, if you guys are interested in training, yes, I am a bit stern in my training, but if you are serious, I would like to help you, man. I'm here for the serious people. I'm here for the underdogs. I'm here for the people who don't think they can, because I am that person that couldn't do it. The people that told me that I couldn't do what I currently do today are still flabbergasted every time I tell them, this is my profession. To Dan, man, I was just say, just keep going, bro. Keep going, keep striving. Don't feel like every workout's gonna feel like your best workout. Don't feel like every day you're gonna feel like you're gonna want to go. Motivation is fleeting, right? But discipline is concurrent, as long as you know that you're still disciplined and you're eventually gonna hop back in, you never truly lose it. You just got to fall back into your good habits and be focused. I feel like anyone can do that, with fitness more in particular. Stick to it, man. Again, don't worry about who's in the gym doing what. You, again, hopefully hire someone to help you, regardless of who it is. Again, make sure they're credible, of course. That's there to help you and push you in the right direction, and that's willing to fight with you when you don't want to fight. And Brian, you already know, bro. you the homie. And
Absolutely.
again, you never know who inspires you, because literally this is just like a full circle situation. Because I remember I was talking to you the other week, man. I was talking about your brother, how him and I talk now, and I think that's just so wild. Because I literally tell him, I'm like, yo, it's your brother who really got me like the way I am, man. Like, at
Yeah,
least
my
when it
brother
came
be telling
down.
me the same thing, bro.
Yeah, bro. I'm like, from a motivational standpoint, like, and I love it. And the fact that I actually can give back to him now, like, I feel like I'm kind of rich, not paying my debt I owe you, but in some ways that I'm able to give back, in a sense, to you. You know what I'm saying? That I'm able to give him now advice, and which still, again, blows my mind, man. And it's a beautiful thing when you're able to come back to life full circle. And it's just funny how it works. I'm just amazed.
Yeah, it's awesome. And lately, as far as these episodes go, I think with the people that we know that are doing things that are I would classify them as self-made. Even though you work for Orange Theory Fitness, you're still a trainer at heart. We got buddies back home that got barbershop businesses, nutrition shops and stuff like that. And I feel like just lately this has been a great opportunity for not just us, because we like doing this podcast stuff for fun, but we do have a pretty good following on both of our Instagrams that do enjoy just listening to us talk, and they get a chance to get to know who we know. And who knows? I mean, there might be someone in our friend group that's looking for a personal trainer, or someone that needs a good barber in Northwest Indiana, or a nutrition shop. I told Caleb he's going to get on here probably pretty soon. So I do appreciate you coming on, bro. This has been badass. Obviously I got a lot of love for you, man. And
Much love, Black brother.
obviously I do appreciate the kind words. You definitely don't owe shit to me. It's nice knowing that you continue to level up, because that's just that's what I hope for all my friends, that they're doing well, because I don't like seeing struggle. So
Absolutely, man. That's what it's all about, showing love and giving it back when you can.
absolutely. So we're gonna go ahead and close it out on that. We're gonna drop the link whenever Dan go ahead and edit this. this episode. We'll tag Ty so you guys can go ahead and give him a follow, support him and everything that he does. I think other than that, we do have our TikTok. We did have a fire TikTok. Damn, what was it? 2 episodes ago? It was the basketball one, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so go ahead and check out our No Script Podcast TikTok. We got our IG and I believe the our Facebook group as well. So yep. Please give that a follow. Share it with everybody. Damn, am I missing anything?
Nah, man, we're good.
All right, sweet. This has been the No Script Podcast.
We out.